happy Valentine's Day to everyone today at my house. This is also known as Sarah's birthday. So happy birthday, Pastor Sarah. And I hope you have a special day sitting inside watching it snow. And let me say again, everybody stay safe out there. We didn't want anybody to risk taking a spill on the ice. We've had a few this week that have fallen on the ice. And so we've been praying for those folk, but just be careful. There's nothing outside worth risking your health. So just keep that in mind. So I think that's everything I need to tell you. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want us to continue our series looking at Paul, Timothy, and troubled times. And last Sunday, we talked about three metaphors that Paul used to describe us as followers of Jesus. He referred to us as soldiers, athletes, and remember, we are farmers. So we got those three. In this section of chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul uses three additional metaphors to describe us. He talks about workers, and then he describes vessels, and then he refers to servants. So we're going to look at that first one this morning as workers. We're keeping things a little more brief today, just with all that's happening. So look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and beginning at verse 14. I want to read these five verses here in this section talking about a workman. Paul writes, "Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, 'The Lord knows those who are His,' and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." I memorized verse 15 as a child from the King James Version. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I guess I always took that to mean that we needed to read our Bible and study our Sunday school quarterly to prove that we were good Christians, to be good workers that could rightly explain what the Bible was teaching so we could pass the test. That's not exactly inaccurate. But the verse doesn't necessarily mean we're to focus on hitting the books, you know, just trying to read and study. The word that King James Version translates as study means to be diligent or zealous. NIV translates it, that we just read, like this: "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the truth," the word of truth. Be diligent and zealous in serving the Lord. Be diligent and zealous in honoring God's word and living by it, so you won't be ashamed when your work is inspected. One who is approved means one who can pass the test, one who has passed the test, one who has no reason to be ashamed because you've correctly handled and lived according to the word of God. The King James reads "rightly dividing the word of truth." It literally means cutting straight, cutting straight. We talked a few Sundays ago about cutting a straight board, about using the word of God as the pattern for our life so we would make a straight cut. Well, this can mean cutting a straight road through the countryside, or cutting a straight furrow with a plow, cutting a straight path so others can follow and won't get lost or sidetracked. So Paul's telling Timothy, be diligent and zealous. Remain focused as a workman so you can cut a straight path as you follow God's word and apply God's word to your life and to your words and your actions. And in that way, Paul says, if you do that, then you won't cause anyone else to veer away from the truth and to take the wrong path. They'll follow you as you clear a straight path ahead. And notice that he says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Our goal should be to please God, to stand before Him having passed the test, up for the inspection. As soldiers, which we talked about last week, Paul says we're to be good soldiers of Christ. As soldiers and as workers, we can say, ready for inspection, sir. Yeah, we've prepared and we are ready, so we present ourselves. We present our footlocker. We present our house and our heart and our mind and our spirit. We present it all ready for inspection. Present yourself, he said. If you're anything like me, I'm better at finding fault in others and judging others, and I know how to fix other people's problems. But Paul told Timothy and is telling us to work on ourselves first. Be diligent and zealous and present yourself. Do your best to present yourself to God as one who can pass the test. And so I've got plenty to do just to work on me. How about you? I need to be diligent in working on Phil. So let's look again at what Paul's telling us then in 2 Timothy in verse 15. Be diligent and zealous as a worker, one who will be adequate and capable, able to pass the test, one who won't be ashamed to stand for inspection, one who remains focused on the right things, able to keep cutting a straight path, a path that others can follow, a path that's based on the Word of God. I remember Brother McQueen, I preached a sermon one time about plowing, and in fact, he told me one time, I was just going through something, and I was the associate pastor or youth pastor at that time, and Brother McQueen said to me, you've got your plow out of the ground. And I said, I've never plowed. I don't know what that means. So he said, when we were plowing as kids on the farm, you'd hit a big rock or a stone and it would, the plow would jump out of the ground. He said, you just need to back up, dig a little deeper, move the stone out of the way, dig a little deeper and make a straight row with the plow. And he told me then, he said, my dad would tie a red bandana, he'd take his bandana off and tie a red bandana on the fence post at the other end of the field, and then he would tell him, now keep your eyes on that bandana, keep your eyes on that fence post, and just plow straight for that, because you want the lines to be straight in the field. Cut a straight path. Focus on what's ahead. Focus on that bandana and make a good, that's what a good workman is supposed to do, cutting a straight, clear path that others then can follow. And if you're plowing a field, then you want it to be straight so that it facilitates growth and that you'll have the planting and the harvest that you want. All this is about harvest. All this is about cutting a straight path. Paul tells Timothy, be that kind of diligent workman. Unfortunately, there are bad workers as well. And Paul mentions two in particular in verse 17, Hymenaeus and Philetus. He mentions Hymenaeus in 1 Timothy in his writing, that first letter, and he says that he had made shipwreck of his faith. And Paul says, instead of living according to God's word, instead of cutting a straight path, these two and others like them had wandered away from the truth. They had veered from that straight path, and as a consequence, Paul says, they are guilty of destroying the faith of others. They're leading others down the same wrong path that they're on. So think about this, that the work that we do, the life we live, the path that we cut has an eternal effect on others. There are people watching your life. And good workers are diligent in cutting a straight path that will build up the faith of others, that will create a path, an example in your life that others can follow. One place Paul says, follow me even as I follow Christ. Cut a clear path that others can follow. Bad workers veer from the path of truth and obedience to God's word, and by doing so, they destroy the faith of others. These bad workers were engaged in what Paul calls, in verse 16, godless chatter. Warn them about quarreling about words and avoid godless chatter, arguing and quarreling about stuff that really didn't matter and that would lead people away from the truth. At the end of his first letter to Timothy, in chapter 6, verse 20, Paul writes, Timothy, turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have wandered from the faith. It kind of suggests what we think were the early beginnings of this heresy called Gnosticism. And among other things, among other false teachings and distortions, it had the idea that through some secret esoteric initiation, you could know these secret mysteries, that you could obtain a higher consciousness, a new level of spirituality. 20 years ago, we talked about, or 30 years ago, we talked about the New Age movement, this New Age spirituality. It was a revisit of this ancient heresy of Gnosticism. Oh, we can obtain this higher consciousness by what we know, not who we know. A new level of spirituality. But it denied some of the key doctrines of the gospel. And Paul says it's falsely being called knowledge, but it's really just godless chatter. It's supposedly focused on knowledge, but if it's not focused on knowing Jesus and the knowledge of Him and His Word, he says it's just godless chatter. The bad workmen were eager to quarrel and debate, but they weren't living holy lives and refused to turn away from wickedness. And Paul says, everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. The Lord knows those who are His. The bad workers embraced bad doctrine, spreading heresy that the resurrection had already taken place. Perhaps they were claiming, as some have, that it was only a spiritual resurrection. Jesus didn't rise bodily. He had just risen spiritually from the dead to live on as a new idea, a brighter path. You know, all it sounds like a Hallmark card. Oh, we're on a sunnier day. And you too can know this resurrection of your spirit and all this. But it leaves out the truth of the gospel, that Jesus died and rose again and conquered death and the grave, and that there too is a resurrection for us. It denies that eternal life and denies the resurrection of Jesus. And Paul says because of this, they've destroyed the faith of some, teaching this false doctrine that the resurrection had already happened or that it was a spiritual resurrection. He said it's spreading like gangrene, it's poisoning the body, and false doctrine and falsehood, spreading lies, all of that spreads like poison, and it's poisonous to the body. While bad workers spread bad doctrine, good workers stay focused on the main things. What is it? You've heard me say it multiple times even in the last few weeks. The main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. I heard a preacher this week say, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. I like that. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's what Paul tells Timothy in verse 14. Stay focused on keeping the main thing the main thing. So he writes, keep reminding them of these things. Keep reminding them of these things. What things? The truth of the gospel. He writes in verse 8 of chapter 2, and we studied this just a few Sundays ago. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, he says. Remember Jesus, raised from the dead, descended from... Remember, if we died with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Remember, if we're faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. It's the main things. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Make the main thing, keep the main thing, the main thing. Don't let yourself be drawn into quarrels about unimportant things. Remember to be diligent and zealously stay focused on the main things. What are the main things? Stay focused on what Jesus has done, right? That he died for us and rose again and offers forgiveness of sins and salvation and eternal life for all that will come to him. Remember Jesus, raised from the dead. Remember who Jesus is, that he's Savior and Lord, and that he's descended from David. He's the King that rules on the throne as Messiah, and he's the one who rules on the throne of our heart and our life as the King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who's coming again someday to judge the living and the dead, the one who's going to call us home to be with him someday. Remember the main things. Stay focused on the faithfulness and the unchanging character of God, that even if we are without faith, he remains faithful and he will not deny or disown himself. He will not change. If we're faithless, we can trust him because he's still faithful. Remember, if we endure as good soldiers, if we run the race as athletes, if we stay faithful as farmers and as workers now, we will reign with him. So Paul calls us to be faithful workers, cutting a straight path for others to follow. And your choice and the path that you choose, the path you take and the path that you make, the one you cut through the countryside, that path matters. Let's be diligent and zealous to present ourselves to God, surrendered fully and completely to him. Let's do what Paul said. Let's avoid godless chatter or just quarrels about stuff that doesn't matter. And instead, let's remain focused on keeping the main thing, the main thing. And folks, the main thing is Jesus and his saving grace. Remember, focus on the main things: Jesus, who he is, what he's done, and what he calls us to do. Let's be faithful. Let's be diligent to live a holy life, a life pleasing to him, a life that we won't have to be ashamed of. Verse 19 that we read says, he knows those who are his, and also those who know him and confess him as Lord turn away from wickedness. Knowing him as Savior and Lord and being known by him as his own should be reflected then in the choices we make and how we live our lives, turning away from distortion and deceit and doctrines that are false, and turning away from wickedness, and instead cutting a straight path, following Jesus as Savior and Lord and guide for our lives. Let's be diligent to live as faithful workers for our King. The songwriter said, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Do your best, Paul said, to present yourself to God as one approved, able to pass the test, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly cuts a straight path, one who correctly handles the word of truth. Well, let's pray today, and let's just take a moment to kind of renew our commitment to be diligent and zealous workers for the King and for his kingdom. So, Lord, I thank you today that we can study your word together and pray together, even on a cold, blustery day like today. I thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be faithful workers, that others, Lord, that we'll cut a clear path that others can follow, that, Lord, I pray for grace to sustain us and encourage us so that we can say, as Paul did, come follow me even as I follow Christ, that our life will have that godly influence, that others will follow us and follow our life into the truth and into walking with Jesus. Lord, deliver us from being bad workers like those that Paul mentioned. We don't want to lead anyone away from truth. Help us to avoid godless chatter. Help us to avoid the unimportant things, and help us to keep the main thing before us, and that's Jesus and him crucified and resurrected and ascended and ruling and reigning. Help us, Lord, to keep the main thing, and to keep our hearts focused on Jesus. Lord, I trust you today. I trust you, Lord, that as we make those choices to follow you with all of our heart and with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, that we will be diligent and zealous in following you. And Lord, if we do that, I believe there's blessing ahead. I believe there's good things in store for all those that serve the Lord, not just for eternity, but I mean right here and now. Lord, the difference that you make as we surrender our hearts and lives to you. Grant your grace to us today. Strengthen us and help us to be good workers that never have a cause to be ashamed, but always rightly cutting a straight path, serving you and living for you. Let it be, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I want to thank you again for joining us today, and just pray that you stay safe in this weather, and we'll see what happens for Wednesday night. I don't know. We'll just have to see how the parking lot is and how what kind of snow we get and all that. But hopefully we can be together in person as well as online next Sunday for sure. But in the meantime, again, stay safe, stay warm, and receive the blessing of the Lord today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen. God bless you.